League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Now bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Friday edition of the Killer Bee.
He's Blank. I'm Branham.
Yeah.
We got Brendan producing. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Is it Friday? It's Friday for you.
It's Friday for me. Is it Friday for you?
It's Friday for me, too.
So you're basically doing a double today, so you do nothing tomorrow.
That's it.
I'm not mad at you.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of musical chairs going on today. Pauly doing the thing that he does best, you know, playing by himself.
Oof.
I said by himself.
Okay.
But, you know, with not Vanessa with out, he's in. Brendan's looking at me like I just robbed a liquor store. I don't know.
I just don't understand what happened at the open.
My
I'm very confused.
Working. My off light on my mic was on the entire, it was off the entire time. So I didn't think my mic, I wait for the blue light to go on.
It was on my side. So I was just trying to figure out what was going
this
on.
This one was on.
Yeah, because the way you were looking at me, I wasn't sure what was going on.
At least my looks can still do the damage that they need to do.
Once you gave me that look, Joel, I turned on every single mic in the studio.
Yeah,
that's what happened.
The other three lights were on, and Joel wasn't saying anything, so I was like, oh my God, do I step in? What do? I don't want to steal his
bit. I only speak when the light goes on, and it didn't go on, and I'm not going to sit there and waste a good What Up H-Town.
It's all good. Just peeling back the curtains a little bit.
That's what we do here. We let you people in sometimes.
We made it.
Yes. I could not be happier. Look, I miss my boy Branham, but he has some much needed. He is the hardest working man in the radio business for all that he does for U of H and here. So he gets some much deserved time off. But I always like to work with BK. I think the world of BK, and it's not only because I used to be neighbors with some of his family members. But it's always fun to kind of mix it up with his personality, and so it's always good to have him in here.
I'm sorry about that, by the way, that you had to be neighbors with those family
members. You absolutely should be, too.
Yeah.
Some of the most bizarre-dressed people I've ever seen in my nice people, but, like, if the fanny pack ever comes back, your cousin Maury, cousin Maury is going to be a fashion icon, but until it does, it's not a good look.
I think every Jewish person has a cousin named Maury who dresses like he's from the 50s. So, yeah, he rocks the fanny pack. He's got the high white socks. He'll rock the socks and sandals look. All of those old school stereotypes.
His dad is in the gym. God bless him, because he is at the age where not a lot of people of his age would be in the gym like he does. But the headband and the socks up to the kneecaps, not the look. That you need that at that point.
He's doing his best Jason Terry impression, I think, every time he shows up
on the chat,
in the gym. So BK in for Jeremy today. We're rolling until 3 o'clock. Of course, Joel's here. Of course, Brendan is here as well. And an off day for the Astros is here, Joel.
Lo and behold, where'd this come from?
The stretch is finally over. 33 games in 34 days is over. The Astros went 23-10 over the last month and change of baseball. And they wrap up the ridiculous stretch with the win at the Juice Box last night. 2-1, the final over the Guardians. And Joel, the Astros win their first ever series against the Guardians. Christian Javier, the story, he was magnificent last night. A couple of sacrifice flies providing the offense for the Astros. And it was a gruesome stretch. Look, we talked about this before the season even started, taking a look at the schedule. We figured this would be tough. The Astros did pretty damn well in this 33-34.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, never has a team deserved a day off more, especially since they're going to use it to fly across the country to go to Seattle. But what this Astros team was able to do, how they persevered through all the different scheduling within the schedule when rain and other things forced them to go 2 in a day and some other things along the way, including a six-man rotation, you get to a point where this team is. And I said with this stretch coming up against a lot of bad teams of 33, 34 games, I'd like to see them go 23-10. I'd like to see them with a five-game lead over the Angels by the time all is said and done. Well, lo and behold, we're not even close to halfway through that stretch of games. They got a two-game lead against the Angels. And they really looked at they really look like a team that settled into being who we thought they were going to be. Because early in the season, we didn't know who they were going to be. We didn't know what Jeremy Pena was going to be.
Mm-mm.
We didn't know if this team was going to continue to hit and be the offensive juggernaut that it had been. And could they keep the momentum of the last 5 years, or was this the beginning of the end and the decline down? Lo and behold, after a 6-6 start, they found a way to figure it out. And now they are rolling like a barrel downhill, and they're sending a message to the rest of the American League. Been there, done that, going to do it again, try and stop us.
That's it right there. Before this stretch started, the Astros were 6-6. They were third place in the AL West. I don't know if anybody is looking at the standings 12 games into the season, but that's where this club was, and we figured this could be a season-defining stretch. Even though it was in April and May, and you've got this number of games in this amount of time, it's a big deal. And also, look, the good news, despite playing as many games as the Astros played in such a short amount of time, they were going up against a weaker part of their schedule. It's not like they were playing the Yankees, the Rays, the Twins over and over and over again. They got to play a lot of the weaker teams in all of Major League Baseball. So you always want to take advantage against the fluffier parts of your schedule. And the Astros did that. And like you said, they've got a two-game lead in the division right now, second-best record in the AL. And the signs are there.
Yeah.
That this team is a World Series contender once again, and you feel good about this club making a run to get back to the Fall Classic for the fourth time in 6 years.
And when you look at it, BK, they did play some good teams along the way, and they lost a lot of one-run games. That's why last night was significant to me. Not only did they win the series, because I think, and we talked about this yesterday, I pay more attention game by game, and I feel more of the pain when they lose than texters pointed out that the team actually feels. But I think the team pays attention to winning the series. They won a series, but the way they won the series is they won a run-run game. They won a pitcher's duel, which they lost, I think, three or four times out of six to a good team in the Toronto Blue Jays a few weeks ago, to where you started to worry about the fact that this team is good as a front-runner. This team is good when they're leading throughout a game, but can they find a way to dig deep in a tie ball game, a one-run ball game, close the door, come from behind, do what they need to do? Last night, a pitcher's duel. They didn't drop the ball. Blake Taylor tried.
Yeah.
But they didn't drop the ball. They won a one-run game. And they really started to cross another thing off the list. Hey, this is a team that in tight circumstances can win a game too, not just, you know, get out in front by, you know, big numbers like they did at Fenway last week or a week and a half ago and say, hey, you know what? We either got to be up big or we've got to have a nice little cushion to be able to go to our pen and close the door.
Have y'all picked an intro song for Christian Javier yet?
No, we kind of were leaving that up to you guys.
Oh, I thought we got Urquidy.
You were supposed to get Urquidy. And then Javier kind of threw a wrench in things when he became a sixth starter originally.
Okay. Well, because that was like Brendan's favorite player. So we thought Brendan was going to pick another because he did so over easy. But I just knew we were reserving one of those choices for Good Afternoon Football so that you guys could show your versatility. and you could get into
well done.
You know, our kind of fun and games department intro music for pitchers. But, you know, by the way, since I picked the intro music for Fromber, the Ohio Players Love Roller Coaster, he has been on fire.
It's been a fun roller coaster.
Yeah. Yeah. When we pick them, they seem to do pretty well, me and Brendan, that is. So we want to get you in on the mix.
Well, you guys don't live on Bad Take Boulevard like Branham does. He's the owner, founder, and...
Well, and now he's got developers looking at, like, putting on... like an extension to the house.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I've been put on Bad Take Boulevard.
It depends on who you ask.
Maybe not as much property as Jeremy, no. But I've been there.
He's got the biggest piece of land on
there. I've at least stayed.
He's also president of the HOA.
He is.
In that whole neighborhood.
And the new regulations he's put on the lawns and the landscaping, it's not going over well. Mm.
So I don't know if I'm allowed to do this while Branham's
yes,
out.
Yes, you are.
Because I'm not a part of this show.
You're in the H-air today running things on the bees. You can do it.
Okay. I have some suggestions.
Absolutely. Bring them.
For Christian Javier's intro song.
Okay.
Can we get some Marsha Griffiths? Little electric slide? His stuff is electric. Okay. Or Eddie Grant.
Boogie Woogie
Woogie? Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know the name of the artist.
Uh-huh.
Because it's been done many times.
Yep.
But I like where you're going.
Or I'm thinking Eddie Grant, Electric Avenue.
Yeah, that one I'm very familiar
because
with.
Because Christian Javier's stuff last night, and really every time he's out there, is electric. That fastball slider combo is one of the best in all of baseball. And
why do I feel a Killer Bees poll coming on with Brendan?
There we go.
Yeah. Now, okay. Because this, I don't, Brendan, today I don't care. We can go off the rails all day. Here's a question for you. Eddie Grant, a one-hit wonder?
What else does he have?
There's another song from a movie in which it was actually the title track.
I'm bad with movies.
Ever seen the movie Romancing the Stone?
I've never heard of the movie Romancing the Stone.
Okay, Romancing the Stone was a pretty big motion picture back in the day.
Rafael Stone and the Rockets?
No, because then I wouldn't have watched it. Michael Douglas in the movie, but Eddie Grant also has a song called Romancing the Stone.
Brendan, you heard of this song before?
Look it up, Brent.
Never heard of the song, never heard of the people.
You should already be playing.
Different language.
Okay, but Eddie Grant, not a one-hit wonder like some people think.
Okay.
I think we need, okay, so we got to have at least three choices.
Sure.
So you've got Electric Slide, Boogie Woogie Woogie. I feel like Andy in the Snoop Dogg commercial. I feel like every time you say Electric Slide, I got to go Boogie Woogie Woogie.
Oh, right, Snoop. Yeah. D-O-double-G.
D-O-double-G.
Uh-huh, every time.
So we got Electric Slide, we've got Electric Avenue, and we can take suggestions from the listeners and then put up a poll. What song is the appropriate intro song now for Christian Javier going forward? Because last night, it was one thing to say he struck out the first six guys he faced. That's the Electric Slide.
You going to start dancing?
No. There's other iteration, whatever you want to call it. There's other versions of this.
Yes.
Yes.
This is the OG.
This always sounds like Lisa and Cult Jam.
Sure.
You don't know them either.
I'm disappointed. Music I usually
have. Yeah,
where
are you here?
Movies, I don't. Music, I usually have.
Young Palillo-esque guys are supposed to have a good musical background.
Well, compared to the other two guys you work with, I feel competent and confident about my music taste.
As well you should.
Yeah.
Movies, music, desserts, all those things.
Mm.
Takes. Okay, so we need one more song for the vote. We got Romancing the Stone. No, we don't. We have Electric Avenue. We've got Electric Slide. We need one more. Someone's going to put an AC/DC song in the mix.
I don't think we got to take it to vote.
Why not?
I think we give the power to Brad.
We've got.
He's here.
I think now we're over empowering BK.
Yeah, I don't need that. I don't want that either. Okay. Trying to think of another song that that has electric in the title.
Why does it have to be electric?
It doesn't. For some reason, I'm just going with that. That's where my mind is going right now.
Okay.
Electric Feel, MDMA, more recent song.
You could go something with the Electric Light Orchestra.
There you go. Is it electric or electronic?
Electric.
Okay.
Yellow.
Yeah. I know them.
Strange Magic.
Mr. Blue Sky. Evil Woman. Mm-hmm. Some jams. They have a song from some movie about the Rockets that I don't know about.
No, I don't know. We'll have to work on it. This is a work in progress, and I love it. So therefore, we want to hear what you have to say. What's the theme song for Christian Javier?
We'll take your thoughts. 713-780-ESPN is the number if you want to call or text in. He's Joel Blank. I am BK in for Jeremy Brandon. When we come back, more on the Astros just past the quarter mark of the 2022 season. What's been the biggest surprise for this ball club so far? We'll get into that next on the Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you about Frankie's Italian Kitchen. Tomorrow's a Frankie's Friday fire. You bring the fire, you win a $50 gift card to Frankie's Italian Kitchen. And, ooh, by the way, this is the last weekend that they are going to be at the original location. Starting next week, they're going to transition over to their new, bigger, better location just around the corner out in that Richmond, Katy area. But, boy, I'll tell you what, bigger is better when it comes to a bigger bar, indoor, outdoor. Live music, all because of you guys, because of the support they've gotten from the loyal listeners of ESPN and so many customers out on that side of the city. It is fantastic. Chris started tipping me off that they were going to do this a few months ago, and boy, did he mean business. Got it started, got it rolling. Now it's ready to go, and it's all because of you, because it's the best Italian food in the city, but you guys have completely sought him out and sought out that food and keep coming back for more. Go to frankiesitaliankitchentx.com right now and check out the entire menu. When you're there, you're going to see the specials that only last as long as the ingredients are there. But while they are there, you are going to sample the best Italian food in and around the surrounding areas of Houston, Texas. They take care of their customers, too. It's not about what you're wearing and which fork you use. No, you bring the family, you spread out, you have some fun, you sit down, you relax, you stay a while. And also, your wallet's going to leave fat, and so is your belly, because they're going to give you big portions and very affordable prices. Check them out. Tell them I sent you by. You are never going to go wrong if you want a great Italian food. Go to frankiesitaliankitchentx.com.
ESPN 97.5. Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
BK in for Jeremy Branham today. Joel Blank is here. Brendan Riley is here across the glass, producing as always. The Astros don't play today. I'm not sure what I'm going to do tonight.
Very weird.
Without the Stros, Joel.
I'm with you. I mean, okay, and we'll get into this later, too, but it's not like you can go watch the conference finals in the NBA and be entertained.
You can for maybe like a quarter.
They suck.
And then it's going to turn into a blowout.
Complete snooze fest that no one wants to see. So your alternatives are what? I mean, Netflix or MLB Network? I don't know.
You're not much of a hockey guy, are you?
I like playoff hockey. It's just, it doesn't, like, it doesn't enthrall me when I got other things to do. It's like, it's not must-see TV or, like, I have to watch a big hockey game. But, I mean, I enjoy watching playoff hockey.
Stanley Cup playoffs have been great this year. They're great every year. And look, in hockey, you generally don't get the blowouts you get in basketball. That's just the way the sport works. So I'd recommend watching that, but this might be a good honeydew night before the weekend. Get some stuff done, take care of some things around the house, and be good to go. But no Stros today. They're back at it tomorrow in Seattle. Only 6 days until the next Astros off day, by the way. They played six games in a row.
Did you see the numbers going into last night that they had played 34 road games and 20 home games?
I did not.
Yeah, they still have the least amount of home games in Major League Baseball. On top of that, this road trip starting tomorrow will be their final three-city, three-team tour road trip of the year. They've gotten them all in already, whereas most teams have had one road trip of three teams in three cities. Mm-hmm. They've gotten all of theirs out of the way. That's just, like, either the schedule maker hates you, or so somehow it flukishly, it just fell that way. But I guess because of how we just got done talking about how well they've played, it's actually a blessing, because now a majority of your schedule from this point on is going to be at home.
Yeah.
You're not going to be taxed on the road by going city to city to city, and you take advantage of it.
More home games, more off days. Yep. It's boding well for the Astros moving forward, and this team's 13 games over 500 right now. They're first place in the AL West by a couple of games. Things are going well for the Stros. So 23-10, Joel, the Astros record during the 33-game and 34-day stretch. That's the third best record in all of baseball during that time span. We're just past the quarter mark of the 2022 season. For you personally, biggest surprise for the Houston Astros thus far? We'll start with the positive one, then we'll go to maybe a negative one, even though this team's been pretty good.
Oh, and I got plenty.
I'm sure there's some to give.
I would say that from a surprise positive for me, there's only one answer. It's Jeremy Peña. Because he was the biggest question mark. We didn't even know if he was going to get the starting job. We were told that he would be given every opportunity by Dusty, but it was between him and Aledmys Diaz. Not only did he grab the bull by the horns, but he's been riding like a rodeo champ ever since. And, you know, I don't think there's any signs of him getting off the horse anytime soon. Like, he is under the best case scenario that anyone could have painted a picture for you before the season of what Jeremy Peña could be, he's living up to all those expectations. That, in a nutshell, tells you all you need to know about where this team is and how far it can go. Because otherwise, that would have been the biggest issue that you and I'd be talking about in terms of what do they do to replace Carlos Correa.
We'd be talking about Carlos Correa every day.
Yep.
And how Jim Crane and James Click made a huge mistake letting Correa walk this offseason if Jeremy Peña wasn't doing his thing.
Right.
Think about how many good hitters there are on this Astros ball club and how many good hitters have been good hitters for years. Jeremy Peña has the highest batting average on this Astros club right now. And he's got the sixth best WAR in all of Major League Baseball as a rookie. He's the front runner for American League Rookie of the Year. Like, even in his wildest dreams, even in Jim Crane and James Click's wildest dreams, I don't think they saw this coming for Jeremy Peña, and I'm with you. He's been the best storyline for this club by far. For me, though, my expectations for Jeremy Peña weren't this. I'm not going to sit here and lie, but I felt pretty good about it, and I was willing to give the Astros a little bit of the benefit of the doubt because they've just made so many right decisions. Even though they don't always seem right at the time, well, this has been the most consistent team in all of sports over the last half decade, so I was willing to give them a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. Maybe the biggest surprise to me, Joel, has been the starting pitching for this ball club. Without the guy who was your ace a season ago in Lance McCullers Jr. I mean, the Astros right now have the second best starters ERA in all of baseball. They've got more wins than any pitching staff in the league. Second most innings, too. So wins and ERA, that stuff's obviously important. They're eating up innings. And I know you have questions about the bullpen. Yeah. We haven't had to see too many of those questions because those guys aren't getting overused by any stretch of the imagination. Second most innings from a starting staff in all of Major League Baseball. So we weren't sure what we were going to get from JV after 2 years of basically not doing anything. Lance McCullers, we thought he'd be ready by the start of the year. Now we're asking if he's going to pitch at all this year. Some of the other guys, you weren't exactly sure what to expect. Man, this starting pitching staff has been maybe the best in all of baseball. That's a big surprise for me.
No, you're absolutely right. I think that if there is a and B scenario, I would put Pena as A, and I would put the starting pitching B because it covers up your shortcomings, right? Because I still believe there are issues in the bullpen. I still believe that my analytical sidekick, Jeremy Branham, who likes to point out the ERA of the relief pitchers, doesn't see the eye test that I see every time Blake Taylor or Brian Abreu takes the mound and suddenly a bonfire turns into a towering inferno. And a lot of times they just bail their ass out. Like, Dusty has not had to have the decisions made that a lot of managers in baseball have had to go through on a day-to-day basis because their starters have gone deep into games, their starters have done their job, and their starters have made his life a whole lot easier as it relates to managing pitching staffs. And back to your point on Pena, too, the thing is we're comparing, just like you did, you compared their numbers to everybody else in Major League Baseball in terms of the depth of the starters, the quality of starters, and the starts that we're getting from them. It's hard to argue. People thought the Mets were going to have a great staff. People were looking around baseball for who had the best staff. Well, regular season-wise, to see these young guys take another step up, it's hard to argue with the depth and quality that the Astros have gotten from starting pitching. From a Pena perspective, the beauty in some of the numbers you were reading off and we were talking about there is the obvious comparison all year is going to be to Correa. But when you start comparing him to the other shortstop in baseball, when you start comparing his WAR to the best players in baseball, when you start talking about him having the best average on this team, the best overall offensive stats for a one of the best offenses in baseball, now you're talking about a guy that has left the Carlos Correa comparison in the rear view, and in his windshield, he is looking at just, you know, wherever you want to take this thing, he's willing to go.
Updated WAR numbers?
Yes.
Jeremy Pena up to fourth in Major League Baseball in all of WAR. So if tops you put, amongst shortstops.
You got
by
the top
way.
Four?
Yes.
Is Trout?
Trout is number two.
Judge?
Judge is.
This Judge is not an MVP type.
Tied for 11th.
Two. Wow.
Defensively, he's negative 0.6. Okay. So that's his issue there.
All right. So Trout is two. In all of baseball?
In all of baseball.
Is Mookie Betts in there?
Mookie Betts is sixth.
Sixth?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You'll guess one. You're not going to guess three.
Bryce Harper?
Uh-uh.
Soto.
How old is he?
He's still 19 in my book, but okay. I think he's actually aged a little bit.
Okay, somebody check on Gleyber Torres, too.
Joe Buck's on line one.
Yeah.
Okay, give him to me.
Manny Machado.
Okay.
Is number
he
one.
He is on fire.
Tommy Edman is number three.
My goodness.
Yeah. He's the second baseman for the Redbirds.
In case people didn't know that. Because yeah. I think most of you are not going to be scolded if you didn't.
I had to look it up just now.
I mean, I watch enough baseball to know, but at the same time, I wouldn't have put him in the top four in WAR. You know, you look at that, though, and you think about which one of these guys doesn't belong. Sure, Tommy Edman would be there, too. But I think that the fact that what I always go back to is, especially after his first game in the big leagues, which a lot of people forgot about. When Jeremy Pena played his first game for the Astros this year, that was the first time he put on a major league uniform. That was his first time just sniffing the green grass of a major league stadium. So it was natural for him to look a little uneasy, to make a few defensive errors and have some issues in his first game, to look a little overmatched. So that kind of set the tone and the table for, well, how long is this going to last? It didn't last long. Because from that point forward, he put the pedal down, yep. And he hasn't looked back since. And I don't think anybody, you're right, I don't think anybody, no matter how much they claim to be a baseball expert or a talent evaluator, could have predicted this was going to turn out this way.
No doubt about that. I mean, I think Jeremy Pena and Justin Verlander, those are probably your two biggest storylines for the Astros to this point. All of starting pitching is, but JV doing what he's doing, right. I think, is right there.
And I think, BK, the other thing is that the hot buttons that I have, but the biggest hot button is one you touched on a little bit, is Lance McCullers. I've just completely bailed on the entire situation. I don't care about the throwing on flat grounds. I don't care about Jake Odorizzi with a pocket radar detector, you know, watching him lightly throw in the outfield or throw 10 pitches off the mound. Because to me, it's taken far too long. There wasn't any medical procedure to make sure it went away. And here we are doing what they did a year ago or at the end of the playoffs to say, hey, he's going to be out for the playoffs, but we're going to make sure everything's done so he's ready for next season. Now we're not sure if he's going to pitch at all this season.
Mm-hmm.
That is so frustrating to me because for as good as this team's rotation has been, it could be that much better, and your bullpen then could be better because the guys that aren't pitching in the rotation make your bullpen stronger.
Yeah, no doubt about that. We'll continue this conversation. We'll get to some of the negative storylines facing the Houston Astros right now. There aren't a lot. They're first place in the AL West. They have the second-best record in the American League. Things, for the most part, are going pretty well for the Astros, but what are some things that we would like to see improved? What are some things that we would like to see changed? We'll get into it up next on the Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All teams covered, no talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, Joel, I've got a question for you about this Astros ball
club. Yes, BK, bring it to me, please.
But before we do that,
I've
got to bring some off-air conversation on the air.
Okay.
So I'm doing 7 hours of radio today.
Yes, because you're a warrior.
I don't really like Golden State that much.
Let's see.
Hawaii.
You are a well-versed radio personality that is dedicated to your craft.
There you go.
How about that? You're welcome.
We're not working too hard over here. But Brendan said he wouldn't do 7 hours of radio even if he was working with Jesus Christ for the day.
Nope.
What's your deal with JC, man?
No. I wouldn't do 7 hours of radio with anybody, BK.
Mm.
But I said that's not really a adequate example to give to us because we don't consider you an overly religious guy. And so we don't know that that would be an influential person that would kind of convince you to do the right thing and do 7 hours.
Okay.
We both said I beat BK to the punch. We were both on the same page. However, if we told you you were about to do 7 hours of radio with Matt Stafford, I'm pretty sure you'd show up with just your boxers on.
I'd hang out with Matt Stafford for 7 hours. Well, I can't promise shirt, I would do might. Good radio.
I don't think he'd even be wearing boxers.
First of all, I don't think you or anybody around you would be worried about the quality of the radio you would produce. You would just do it for the simple...
Yeah, I'd hang out with him.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's... That
so you're telling me it's BK nutshell, isn't doing radio.
You're telling us Matt Stafford sits higher on your list of priorities than Jesus Christ.
I'd hang out with Jesus Christ for 7 hours.
Okay. Just not radio.
You can borrow Paul Gallant's shoes and feel like you fit right in.
What do you call those things?
The Jerusalem Cruisers.
The Jerusalem Cruisers.
He had the sandals on today.
That is spectacular.
Yeah.
All right, let me ask you this, Joel, about this Astros team. So I know you're shaky about the bullpen. You've got some questions about whether or not this bullpen is as effective as some of the numbers might say. Do you think it would be better for this Astros bullpen to start to struggle a little bit before the trade deadline? So James Click thinks he needs to make a move or two to bolster the pen. Like, are you worried at all if this bullpen continues to put up the stats that they've put up through the first quarter of the season, that it's going to create this facade to the Astros front office that, hey, we're good here. We don't need to address this. We'll go bolster our team somewhere else. Our bullpen is perfectly fine. Would you almost rather start to see these guys struggle just so James Click adds a piece or two when we get closer to the deadline?
No, I don't want them to struggle. I don't want them to take any steps back just to enhance the awareness of what they might need going forward. I think what I do need to see is that I need to see a conscious effort by Click and his staff to just focus on more than the analytics. Focus in, like I've been saying about Abreu. If he's just going to be a mop-up guy, so be it. But if he's a guy that Dusty, because Dusty plays his favorites, and when he plays his favorites, it doesn't matter what you've done in your last outing or two. It's that you're my guy. I mean, Rayleigh was that guy. Daily Rayleigh was that guy a year ago, and he wasn't great for most of the year. Late in the year, he really got it going in the right direction, but he was Dusty's guy, so he's still going to be out there. Blake Taylor and Brian Abreu seem to be those guys in Dusty's mind, too, that no matter what is happening and how bad they've pitched, I'm going to put them back in the same situations. And I think that there has to be the realization, the same way they finally came to the realization, thanks to a trade, that Nico Goodrum was Nico Badrum. He was terrible. He had no business being on this team. Blake Taylor, I've been saying for a few weeks now, every time he goes out there, much like Abreu, he immediately starts a fire that's not there. And then suddenly within a couple of batters, you know, and Brendan and I were talking about this morning, you took a pitcher's duel in which you had to really be hyper-protective of a one-run game. It was 1-0 for most of the game. And immediately took a 2-0 lead, and thank God you had it, put two on, had a 2-0 count on the third guy, and looked like you were anything but in control of the situation until you finally got taken out. And then I read an article this morning, the Astros need to do something about Taylor, and you know, what are their options to try and do something with him? It shouldn't have taken this long. Mm.
He's got the highest ERA of any bullpen arm for the Astros right now. It's at 4.3. And as you mentioned, he gave up a run last night, got into a little bit of a jam. Hector Neris came in and did what he's done so often this year, wiggle the Astros out of a jam. So who's in your circle of trust right now, Joel? If I asked you to come up with a bullpen circle of trust, which guys can you count on every time Dusty makes the call down there, and which guys are a little too shaky for you?
I really like Neris. I like him. I think he has been a godsend for this team. I think much like what they did at the trade deadline a year ago by adding three closers that at least had been in high leverage situations that can prove that no situation was too big for them. I think Neris has been that guy. Saved 80 some games for the Phillies. He's a guy that every time his number's called, he's fired up. He wants the ball every chance he gets, and more times than not, he's hyper effective. He's got a plus fastball, and he really seems to be in control out there. Montero is winning me over. Yeah. Montero's a guy that, you know, was going to be DFA'd and suddenly was a throw-in in the Mariners trade and then got hurt, so we really couldn't evaluate him. But again, another guy with a plus fastball, and they were talking about it last night, and they were kind of half-kidding, but they shouldn't be. He never looks flustered. He never looks like his blood pressure gets up. He just comes in and does his job. And so, you know, the one guy that I would put on there that I'm not sure Jeremy would is Ryan Pressly, because I've always trusted him. Now, early in the season, he had issues, but again, that was probably tied to the fact that right after that, he spent some time on the injured list with the knee issue reoccurring. Mm-hmm. But Jeremy was questioning his fastball, and I said, let him get his legs under him, let him get to the midseason form, then I'll pass judgment on whether he can get back to it. He's already 95-plus again.
Yeah.
His breaking pitch is his best pitch. And when he comes into a game like last night, I can breathe easier knowing he's in control. Those are guys that I feel like are in control. Stanek, I always say within four pitches, I can tell you which Ryan Stanek we're getting. Mm-hmm. And by then, Dusty should make a decision to get someone warm.
His velocity this year has been incredibly impressive.
So is Brian Abreu. But if his split finger isn't getting over the plate, no. I mean, isn't in the zone and then falling out of it, if he doesn't have a secondary pitch and he doesn't have control of his fastball, you could be in trouble. That's why the circle of trust used to include Stanek, because more times than not, he was good. There's still room for him to be in there, but I think the saving grace so far for this pen, because Presley's been out, because there's been a lot in flux, is the fact that I think Neris is the guy that's been the anchor, and the surprise of Montero has helped.
Phil Maton doesn't make the cut?
He never has for me. He's another guy that just looks like, I guess his body language first and foremost tells me it's like, I don't care. I just never see any kind of, I got to really focus in here. But more so than that, he hangs a lot of pitches. He spends a lot of time up in the zone when he doesn't have his A stuff. And I think that's where he gets touched up. And he didn't have a great regular season last year after the trade, but he did have a good playoffs. So I think a lot of people held out hope that this was going to be, he found it now, he's going to be fine. Yeah. He's up and down. He's a guy that as a veteran pitcher, I don't mind being out there. But in the circle of trust, he's on the outside looking in.
See, he's close for me, but I'm with you. He's on the outside looking in for me as well. I've got five guys in my bullpen circle of trust. Ryan Pressly, mm-hmm. Hector Neris, Ryan Stanek's in there for me.
Okay.
Montero's been spectacular.
Yep.
He's given up one earned run in 20 appearances this year. He's got a .48 ERA. He's been spectacular, and he hasn't always been in the highest of leverage situations, but he's delivered way more often than not. And then I'm cheating with this one, because here's a guy who's normally in the bullpen, but he's not right now. That's Christian Javier.
Yeah, no doubt.
I mean, once he's back, hopefully he gets back to his normal bullpen role and Lance McCullers Jr. can come back.
Do you want him there?
Well, if he pitches like he did last night, I'm not sure I do. I mean, the Astros might have seven really quality pitchers when everyone's there.
That's the luxury that I think that everybody is overlooking in this scenario, is the fact that if you could go seven deep in starters, it's one thing to say you are the envy of most major league teams because you can go with five quality starters. If you can dabble in seven, whether it's trade bait or not, your bullpen just got increasingly better.
Yeah, it's a first world problem right there, trying to decide which five of the seven starters that you have are the best.
A week ago, we would have been having this conversation. I would say, BK, who's out?
Yeah.
Like, who, if they're going to trim it back down to a five-man rotation, who are you taking out? I was leaning Urquidy, and then all of a sudden, he figured it out.
He did.
You know?
Are y'all going to have music intros for every pitcher on the Astros pitching staff? Are we going to go to the bullpen at some point?
It's possible. Okay. Just to have fun. I mean, Brendan's shaking his head because it's more work for him.
Yeah.
But it's definitely a possibility.
Okay. And we're only a quarter of the way into the season. You guys have hit about a quarter of the Astros
every
pitching
time
staff.
BK fills in, we need another theme song for another pitcher on the staff.
We don't know when bullpen guys are going to go, though. Like, the songs are around the guys who are pitching that day or pitched the day before.
You got to guess.
That sounds like
who's
going to
go. Yeah, that is tough. How much nicer is doing a show with someone who doesn't have wood in their hands for 3 hours, Joel?
It's well, here's the thing. And one day I was imitating him when he was on doing the show remotely, and I don't think he even paid attention to the video to see that I was doing that. He calls it the ukulele, where he's strumming his guitar.
Yeah,
yeah, and twirling his wood. Yeah. But the thing that's most annoying about that is, do you realize how many times throughout the show he drops it on the desk?
I hear it.
Yeah, you hear the ring, too? Because he also, when he can't play with the bat, he plays with his wedding ring, and then he drops that, too. And he gets the death stare from me, and nothing seems to faze.
No, I'm terrified doing crosstalk with y'all because he's got that bat, and it's very close to me.
And if you don't, I'm surprised Cody hasn't caught a Louisville slugger to the bridge of the nose yet. Because the way those two go at it, and I still to this day cannot understand it or pinpoint how it happened, but I'm surprised that he hasn't taking the bat to Cody.
And it's not even his wood either. It's community wood that he just touches every day.
No, I gave it to him. He keeps it here. So he leaves his wood laying around.
Wow.
But I'm the one that created the problem by giving him the bat in the first place.
I've seen other people touching that, so it's interesting. That is interesting. I don't know. He's Joel. Yeah. I'm BK, not Jeremy. When we come back here on the Killer Bees, I don't even know what we're doing. Joel, you've got a food story, and we're having a debate about what food you could eat every day for the next year.
Okay.
I think that's what the rundown says. I'm not great at reading. We'll get to something when we come back. It's the Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
It's the Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. No Jeremy Branham today. We got BK, Brad Kellner filling in alongside Joel Blank and Brendan Riley.
Have you ever met not Brad Kellner?
I have not met not Brad Kellner.
We have a frequent texter to the show that refers to themselves as not Brad Kellner.
Mm-hmm.
That actually brings some good suggestions and texts to the table.
So
but
you know it's
not
me.
Just curious that. That's very true.
Yeah.
That I was just curious if BK had met not BK.
I've not met not BK.
Not BK suggested that Javier's song should be Two Princes by the Spin Doctors.
Okay. There's no need for that. I was having a good day
before
that happened. It's one of the worst songs of all time.
Wow.
One of the worst bands of all time.
Okay.
One hit wonder. Guys are worthless, man. Two Princes. Let's talk food. Joel.
Okay. Now, precursor.
Yes, sir.
Is Brendan involved in this conversation?
No, that's why I said Joel.
I was going to say, because whenever we talk food and Brendan finds his way into the mix, things go not just off the rails, they go like completely in the dumpster.
Yeah.
Okay, so just me and you talking here.
It's a landfill fire more than a dumpster fire whenever Brendan tries to talk about food.
It's a ship show.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not on water.
That is dangerous.
All right.
Well done there, sir.
Thank you.
Professional. All right, so there was a tweet that went viral yesterday about fast food restaurants. And the tweet reads, two of these places will serve you free products for 1 year. So you basically get free fast food for a year from two of your favorite fast food chains. I'm not going to read all of the chains, but they've got the usual suspects. And these are all national places, so you don't even get your Whataburger, like your Texas chains. It's all national stuff. You know, your Wendy's, your McDonald's, your Taco Bell's, KFC, Papa John's, all of those joints. So if I asked you, you get two sort of national fast food chains where you can eat at for free for the next 365 days, what are you going with?
Includes pizza?
Includes pizza.
Okay, that's good. That's a key for me. Oh, I know it's a key for the guy that's not involved in this conversation. Because he lives for it. I'm going to go Chick-fil-A and Pizza Hut.
Okay. Now, just Pizza Hut? You're not looking for one of those combination Taco Bell, KFC, Pizza Hut things?
That's like that commercial that states if you could have, you had to eat one meal for a year, what from one place would it be? And the dude says, a buffet. Well, that doesn't count.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
It's a Brendan quality take right there.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm going to go with, so I can have some variety, because you could do chicken salad, you could do chicken sandwich, you could do lots of different things with the somewhat healthy Chick-fil-A, and then you could also go with the staple of pizza.
When you say chicken salad, do you mean chicken salad, or do you mean like a salad with chicken?
A salad
in
with
it?
Grilled chicken on it.
You do fast food salads?
I don't say that I do that, but okay. If I had to eat it for a year, I need that option, because otherwise I make them at home.
That to me is a felonious crime.
And you are going to eat like, I mean, whatever. I just
laugh when I see people order salads at a fast food restaurant. What are you doing?
I can tell you.
Jeremy's a regular Chick-fil-A salad guy.
Okay. Case in point.
Like, all the time.
Yeah. That's all I needed to say, and that's all you needed to say to prove that I'm right and he's wrong.
So, I was just talking to my buddy on the way here that is he's a golf rep for Titleist. So, he is constantly in his car, and he's like, I'm constantly trying to eat right. Do you know how difficult that is when you are driving and every stop and every truck, time you get off the highway, all your options are nothing but fast food joints. Mm. He's like, if I wanted a salad, it's kind of a tough call to find one that's actually healthy. So there you go. You asked, I give you the answer.
Yeah, that's a bad bit. Go sit down somewhere and eat a salad. Take a few minutes off of driving and eat a salad.
What are you going to go to? Fridays? TGI Fridays and get yourself a salad.
It's a good spot.
Panera Bread.
Another good spot.
Get yourself a bread bowl.
Overpriced.
Soup and oh, I don't know about that.
Yeah, okay. Very overpriced for small portions. I mean, not good for a Jewish guy. We don't like that combination.
Why are you bringing it? See, you always got to go to that card that I'm not going to play. All right, so where are you going?
Popeyes and Taco Bell.
Popeyes?
Yeah.
What's your go-to at Popeyes?
Three-piece mixed.
Really?
Red beans and rice, mashed potatoes, and a biscuit.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
We've got the sandwich, too, to switch things up a little bit. Those are always good.
Those are the sandwich worth fighting for.
Sandwich worth fighting for.
I mean, how many news stories do we need to see across the country where guns were pulled at drive-through windows when they were out of the sandwich?
Is that still happening?
I don't know that it's still happening, but it was happening far too frequently for quite a while.
Yeah. See, I wasn't going to Popeyes during that stretch.
Okay.
And I was pissed off at first when the sandwich came out because the lines were ridiculous.
Yes. And the lines were worthy of a Chick-fil-A at any time.
And it got to the point where I don't even think they were making their bone-in fried chicken anymore because everybody was just ordering the sandwich. Yeah. So I'd go in there, I'd wait 30 minutes to get to the drive-thru window, and they're like, yeah, we're out of that. It's like, how? Well, also, Popeyes is out of stuff all the time. I guess that's a big problem.
See, that's problem the problem, too. That's what one thing that would – I would hate that.
The quality of worker at Popeyes is not on par with the quality of worker at Chick-fil-A.
Well, we're going to that level now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Chick-fil-A is a well-oiled machine.
Well, it has to be. Every single time the Chick-fil-A's in our area, it does not matter what time of day, when you go by there, both lanes are full.
Yep.
There's two people on foot going car to car to try and get ahead of the game, and yet there's still about 10 deep on each side of the drive-thru window.
They get you in and out of there in 3 minutes.
That's amazing.
It's ridiculous. And then Taco Bell's got all sorts of different options. And they've got lettuce and tomatoes in some of their items, so that's healthy. So I don't have to worry about that because I've got that stuff in there.
They're vegan, you know.
They do have some vegan stuff.
Their beans are vegan. Believe me, I know this because of my wife.
Man.
But yeah, their bean burritos, the beans are vegan.
Equal opportunity, man.
So my wife will actually frequent Taco Bell because of that. Yes.
That's authentic Mexican food she's getting.
Now, BK, and she'll probably, I don't think this is a point in time where she's listening. But here's the thing. Like, if we ever get to the point of being at, you know, on the level of being on TV and getting a little more popularity, a lot of times, and we used to have Chick-fil-A because when I was doing The Usual Suspects, Barry Laminack was also a very frequent Chick-fil-A customer for all the different variety of items. Mm. They heard us talking about them. They started bringing in gift cards, and evidently I found out through Barry there is such a thing as a Chick-fil-A black card.
Yo.
And when you get the black card, you get Chick-fil-A for a year.
Just like whatever you want?
Yeah. So, long story short, I'm cleaning up some stuff in the kitchen one day and some cabinets, and I come across this Chick-fil-A, real nice box, and, you know, it's got some decorations on it and everything like that. So I open it up, and inside there's another nice box. It's almost like a jewelry box. And I peer inside to find one of those black cards sitting right there in the middle of that beautiful little box. I turn to her and I go, what's this? And she goes, well, it's, I go, no, I know what it is. Why is it in here? She's like, well, I mean, it was really nice of them to give it to me, but you know, I'm vegan. I go, do you have kids? She's like, yeah. I go, do they eat nuggets? She's like, yeah. I go, do we pay for them? She goes, yeah. I go, what are we doing?
Yeah.
So then I look at it. It's expired.
Oh, no.
I'm like, so this card sat in this cabinet for 12 months, and you didn't once think of telling me or telling them or telling all of us so that we could do something that would be beneficial for the whole family? She's like, well, let me. I'm like, okay, stop.
Oh, man.
I mean, I would find a way to work Chick-fil-A into my eating habits more if I had that card.
And you stayed with her.
Have you seen her?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why.
Man.
She's got a lot of other attributes.
To me, that's grounds for...
Can you imagine stumbling upon it after the fact? It's like, I'm trying to find the best analogy to where you find something that you would absolutely, you know, not to die for, but you'd be really pumped about, and then you realize, hey, just to make it worse, I'm going to dangle this in front of you and realize you can never use it.
That is tragic, dude. And that is one of the saddest things I've ever heard in my entire life.
What's not happened?
I'm so sorry.
Thank you.
Oh, man.
Can you imagine if you had that? Now, if you pick Taco Bell, are you running to more than just the border?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, for the longest time, it had an adverse effect on me.
Oh, it does with me, too.
Chipotle is the worst.
Really?
Something about something they put in there with their chicken or whatever.
Don't tell Asman that.
I realize that he lives there.
Is that how he got his last name, the Ass Man?
It's quite possible.
From Chipotle?
Hope he's the white man, too, yeah. Because, you know, it's not exactly a clean scene.
No. Black Bush, white man.
Red Bush.
Yeah.
Vegas.
Your call.
I don't know.
All the above.
His call.
With that kid.
Yeah, but I just, I've always, Taco Bell, I can now stomach, literally. I used to not be able to, but Chipotle, I never will be able to.
Mm.
Something about something they put in there. Okay, so you're going. Do we include the third party in this? He's probably going to say something. He's going to say a pizza place, and he's going to say something stupid like Dunkin' Donuts.
He's going to say Little Caesars because he's a Detroit guy, and that's the most authentic Detroit style pizza you can find.
This is the most slanderous thing that's ever been said on the station. I know it's said regularly by Jake. I'm not that big of a Little Caesars fan. It's like tier 8.
But Pizza Hut went so far as to do Detroit style pizza sauce on top.
They didn't even do it right.
See, and I asked him about this because Brendan and one of my best friends, Ty, who's from Detroit, I was like, is this a thing? I didn't know this.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually sounded good the way Ty described it, not the way Brendan did. Mm. But then when Brendan told me that Pizza Hut's, it's not even close, then I'm like, well, then what am I doing?
You don't need to go to Detroit. You've got Little Caesars. You've got that Pizza Hut here. You're good.
All right, so what are you going with, Brendan?
I think I'm going Papa John's and Taco Bell. You know it's got to be a pizza, right? Like
I knew pizza was in the mix.
And Pizza Hut was my go-to place for a long time. I'm not going to lie. I think Papa John's is the best stuffed crust. That's why I'm going with Papa John's.
I was wondering which direction you were going because, sneaky tidbit, they do thin crust better than any fast food type pizza.
Papa J's?
Papa John's does a thin crust that actually gets crispy and can hold the toppings. But I did not realize that you would say that they're best stuffed crust.
Oh, I tried it one time, and I was like, oh, wait, why do people get stuffed crust at Pizza Hut anymore? Oh. It's so much better at Papa John's. And then Taco Bell, it's the mix and match. It's the more options. Like, a lot of these places, you're not getting very different depending on what you get. A lot of different stuff at Taco Bell.
Mm. Now, question, because we said they were major. Whataburger was not part of the process.
It was not.
Okay.
If it was.
Because otherwise it'd be on the list.
It'd be there.
Especially when I was the drinking man, because that was the go-to at 2 a.m.
Oh, man, it's the best.
Woo!
You got to wait 45 minutes to get your food.
Does not matter.
Still worth it. Whitney Merciless over there producing the show today. Big Papa John's guy. Who would have thought?
Never would have saw that coming.
Who would have thought? It's the Killer Bees. 1 hour down. 2 to go.
Went fast.
Thursday that feels like a Friday.
Yeah.
Because both of us aren't going to be here tomorrow.
Nope.
Which is awesome. A new hire was made in the NFL that has a direct tie to the Houston Texans, and I think people are going to be watching this man do his job for the next few years and comparing him to Nick Caserio. We'll give you the details next on the Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Well, hello.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.